This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christy Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, recorded at the church's classic worship service held Sunday mornings at 9. May you be blessed to be a blessing. What is the number one use of the internet? Of all the things that you can use the web for and the computer for and online, what is the number one use? Among all adults, 53% use it for this. The number one, I know what you're thinking, it's not that. This is church, come on now. It's not, yeah, okay, I know. No, not at shopping, thank you for shopping. I wasn't thinking shopping. Shopping, email, you think maybe email, looking up news, playing games, going on Facebook, social media, anybody, you know. The number one, they're all wrong, including the one that shall not be said. Those are all wrong. All wrong, thank goodness. They're all wrong. The number one use, 53% among all adults, is for the internet, is no particular reason. No reason at all. That's number one. Did I hear an 18 to 29-year-old laughing? Perhaps somewhere. 81% say there is no particular use. They have no particular reason to be on the internet. 81%. Woo! Way up there. Now, I may have heard a couple more 65 and olders here. Maybe. You guys are 12. Okay, you know. But that's up from like 3, 10 years ago. So you're getting more there. No particular use. The number one use of the internet is no particular reason at all. We have no reason to go online. We just go. And I got to be thinking about that. What's the number one reason for Christmas? What's the matter? If you took all the adults in the United States and say, why do you celebrate Christmas the way you do? I wonder if the result was, never really thought about it. No particular reason. It just comes around, decorations go up, meetings are canceled, things have changed. You know, you think we have trouble with why we have Christmas. If you look, especially on the Hallmark Channel, I know because somehow every Christmas special on the Hallmark Channel is now on my recording at home. I don't know what little elf came in and put them in there, but they're all there. Every Christmas special, what is they about? The real reason for Christmas. Why we really, really have Christmas. Every one of them is about that. So you think we have trouble with that. Now the media class where we get around and do media downstairs and walk around, we're going to be watching How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That's right, the whole entire thing. We're going to be watching Grinch. We're going to talk about it, Bible, compare, contrast. And what is that about? Purpose of Christmas. Next week, we're going to talk about Charlie Brown Christmas. What is that about? Real meaning Christmas. I think that if you took a survey, it would seem that most adults in America would say, I really don't know why I have Christmas. I need some more Christmas specials to tell me. Because we don't have a clue. Well, let's take a look at our scriptures today. Our scriptures today tell us about Christmas. You know, there is no actual Christmas celebration, rule book, guide, how to do it kind of thing, as much as some news commentators would tell you. There is nothing. In fact, if you went really religious back in the day into our tradition and the way our, that Christmas was banned. Christmas celebration was banned by the church. It was awful. It was secular. It was horrible. In fact, the pilgrims, the first one, the ones we salute as one of our religious heritage and founders, they actually fined people if they caught you celebrating Christmas. You were fined a shilling for celebrating Christmas. You were supposed to go to work and you were in big trouble if you didn't. So Christmas reason is a very strange tradition even in this country. No wonder we need all these specials on Hallmark to tell us what Christmas is. I'll tell you the answer. if we could, we could go around and ask about what's this Christmas gift. Well, it's about giving. It's about family. It's about love. It's about God. It's about Jesus with us coming down. It's about Jesus being born. It's about, no, it's about God with us. It's about prophecy. It's about all that. Today, let's say, Christmas is about promise. And it's about living the promise. Living as if things were already true is Christmas. And you think about it, you know, that fits in really well. Because Christmas is all about, you know, lights and festive and parties and celebration when the outside is horrible and awful and the absolute worst time to do boo any traveling. It's dark. It's dreary. It's the darkest time of the line. Everything is dying. Today, we had a brief ceremony. It's not a lot. There's not a lot of liturgy, but it is very meaningful and moving as we went out and say, well, the flowers are dead. Been a killing frost. They're gone. It's officially winter. And then we move on. It's the worst time to have festival and light and shine and a big bonfire, but it's the best time. When's the best time to have the world's biggest bonfire, which is a great tradition of the Christmas time? It's during the darkest night. Saying light's coming back. It's dark now, but light is coming back. And it's dreary and sad and hard to get together now, but we're going to do it because we know summer's coming. That's Isaiah. Isaiah is telling us that all these things have reversed. There's a reversal. There's a change. And whether you think it's first, second, or third Isaiah, whether you say the Savior mentioned is someone in that time, or Christ, or King Cyrus, or whoever you say, the message of Isaiah is there's a reversal. And it's political, it's economic, it's everything. Because political, release to the captives and the prisoners, that's a political talk. That's what kings do. When they take over a country, everybody goes free. The prisoners are free because they were against the last guy, not the new guy. It's political. It's economic. Did you see that little thing that said the year of the Lord? That's, we probably think, oh, year of the Lord. That's nice. That's like what, the year of the bowl, the year of the frog? I don't know. No, the year of the Lord was a big thing. That was sabbatical. You ever heard of sabbatical? Every 7 years you take off. That comes from the Bible. And every seven years was a jubilee. A sabbatical, a sabbatical. And in the sabbatical years, all debts were canceled. Got a debt, got a loan, got a mortgage, wiped out. All slaves were freed. That was an economic thing too. You usually got into slavery because of your debts. We got some slaves now that are working for hospital bills and working for all sorts of other things to pay for. Gone. And on Jubilee, not only that, but all the land went back to the original owners. All the land went back to whoever had it back in the day when the Israelites first came in. Everything was wiped out and reset. The year of the Lord. Now, did they ever do this? Probably not. Probably not. But Isaiah's saying, this is the promise, it is true, it is real, live as if it's already here. It's like planting a seed and rejoicing at the harvest. Oh, we're going to have a great harvest because you planted the seed. And it's a reality to you. Perhaps the best Christmas movie to talk about this is the one we saw last week in Wiedia, is a French film that talked about the Christmas truce of World War I of 1914. In that, the various people that were just yards away from each other in horrible, awful trench warfare, the first year that they were doing this, when before it got too awful bad, it was bad enough. Spontaneously, against orders, they decided to have a Christmas truce. And the Germans and the French and the English all met together in no man's land. And they exchanged gifts, sang carols, showed pictures of their family, played soccer, where before they were trying to kill each other. And soon they would be killing each other again. But on Christmas Eve and day, they lived as if the promise of peace was already true. As if the promise of community of nations, of brotherhood of man, of sisterhood of humanity, of all that was already true. They lived for one day as if it was true. Promise, living as if. Thessalonians tell us how. The letter to the Thessalonians. They're all upset. They're all things. Things were changing. Second coming was coming. Everything was turned on its head. Everything was crazy. They were scared. People were saying that the world was coming to the end. Sound familiar? And at the end of this letter, Paul and Thessalonians say, here's what you do. Remember, God is in control of all things. Remember, this is all about God things. Just like Isaiah, but economic and political, everything belongs to God. So here's what you do. You rejoice always because you know how it turns out. You know how the promise ends. You know what God has done and is doing in the world. God is with you, so rejoice always. Now rejoice and joy is different than happiness. You're happy with circumstances. You're happy with the situation. You're happy when things turn out the way you want. You're happy when things are going your way. You're happy when your team wins. You're happy. But joy is when the world turns out right. Joy is when you know the final score. Joy is when you know that God has got it in control and God is blessing. Rejoice. Always. Because you know the end story. That God is with us and God saves us. The very image of Christmas is a rejoicing of the salvation of the world because a baby is born and the situation was dire. They were poor. They didn't have a place to stay. They didn't have any money. They're going to soon to be refugees. They weren't even married. It was an awful situation, but one full of joy because they were living the promise. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. What does that mean? Prayer is being in the presence of God. If you are with God in whatever you are doing, that is a prayer. If you are singing, that's praying done twice. If you're with God. If you're with your family, if you're with God, that's a prayer. If you're walking, that is a prayer. If you're in church, that is a prayer. If you are with God, pray constantly. Something I try to do. I don't always hit it, but I'm getting better. Carmen's with me on this. She's trying too. We encourage each other. You know, when somebody asks, would you pray for me? Or would you remember me in your prayers? Did anybody ever say that to you? They know you're a Christian or they know the church. Goes, can you pray for someone? Right then, right now, grab their hand. Goes, let's pray now. Let's pray now. Oh, Lord, thank you for Auburn getting out of the hospital. Amen. Amen. Pray constantly. Why is that? Because remember the promise? Remember, God is everywhere. So if God is everywhere and the promise is real and we're living as if, well, then we're praying constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. What, even the bad ones? Even when things turn out horribly? Even when the Browns quarterback gets a concussion and they send him back in? Thank that? No, it says thanks. Be thankful in all circumstances because you know the big picture. And like happiness and joy, thankfulness is not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent on your situation. It's not dependent on the bad things that may happen. You're thankful for the totality of life, for the promise, for God being with you. You have an attitude of gratitude. You have an attitude of thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for another breath. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that knows that you are with us and that you will salvation is come to us. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. And it says, for that is the will of God for you. Now that is a Jewish code word in there that we probably didn't pick up unless you came to pastor's preview. And for that, this is the review for him. But that is a code word for saying the will of the Lord for you is a code word for saying the way to live in the world. The way a righteous, faithful person, attitude and outlook in the world, that little phrase right there, the will of the Lord for you. So Paul is telling us, the author of Thessalonians tells us, this is how you should be in the world. You should live the promise. You shall live as if that little bitty baby born to a refugee, unmarried couple with poor persons is the salvation of the world. You shall live as if war is no more and your enemies are your friends. You shall live as if. The meaning of Christmas is the promise. And not so much the promise that is out there in the future. It is. But how that comes into our presence. How we make warmth and light and happiness and joy in the midst of the dark, cold winter. That is how we live. We live as Christmas people. Amen.